So anyway, we go through trying times, and that's what this talk is about. And I always like to look at things both ways, where we do have trying times, but then those times are also a chance to try out what we say we actually know, what we say we believe in, what we've been studying and talking about. It's like, oh, you mean I don't just get to study and talk about it? You mean this is going to come up in my life and this is what's going to happen? Are you kidding? I got to apply this stuff? It doesn't really work, you know? I got to start managing this. You don't understand. You have to make it happen. That's how it works, right? And so then we get in the way of it. So if you ever wondered why I became a divine science minister, because that's what I am, just read what this person wrote back in the late 1800s about truth, how it is something we need to find, and once we find that it's true because we tested it in our own lives, that we use it. Truth by itself means absolutely nothing. I love it. That's when I read that, I remember going, I'm on board with this religion. Especially when she goes on to say, if you find out that what you believed was true, that it's actually not true, then you got to reverse your position on it. I love that. That's called not being attached to any dogma. That's letting spirit be free. That's letting your life teach you about who you really are. I love that. That's how it's supposed to be. And when it's not that way, we become fanatical and we walk around telling other people, here's what it is, and you're not doing it right. And then we become unloving and unlovable, just as it says. And we start pushing our truth onto other people. And we didn't like it when they pushed their truth onto us, but for some reason we got the real truth, and therefore that's okay. Right? Because when we hear their truth, we kind of like grind our teeth. You know, it's like, ooh, they're so off. We might not say it, but they are so wrong. And their whole life shows they're completely wrong. But we don't realize that as we're following that line of thinking, that we're taking ourselves down the path, and we have now started grinding our own teeth. And then we end up with TMJ. Okay? And then we end up with our neck hurting. And now we got to wear some appliance at night because of what they said to us that was completely wrong. And now we got to go get our neck adjusted. And now our shoulder. And now we can't sleep at night, so now we're going to take sleep medication. But they're wrong, and I'm on the right path here. But our whole body is telling us, you are so off. This is not your territory. Their beliefs are their beliefs. Yours are yours. And you just have to be in the middle with all of this, being willing to adjust and shift all the time. And when you find it to be true in your life, apply it. So I don't remember a truth that said you could go around judging everybody. Do you? Because that's what you're doing now, and it's showing up in your body. I remember turning on a morning show once a couple of years ago, and the host of the show was asking somebody from the American Dental Association, I want to, you know, we know we're supposed to brush our teeth and stuff, we know we're supposed to floss, but how important is the whole flossing thing, you know, and do we have to floss all the teeth, or are some teeth more important than others? And he said, oh, no, 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 you don't have to floss all the time, you don't have to floss all your teeth, only the ones you want to keep. And I thought, what a great answer. No, you don't have to apply this stuff all the time. Only the times you want your life to be in flow and you want to feel at peace and enjoy. That's the only time you got to do it. Okay? So it's a choice. So a lot of times we don't realize that we're actually with our choices and our actions, and especially with our thoughts, that we are actually going against the very truths that we say we believe so much in, because we keep looking for it to be on the outer when it actually is coming from the inner. So it's really interesting because it seems like teeth have absolutely nothing to do with what we're talking about today, right? But it does. Today's about dental hygiene. And if you haven't gone lately for your checkup, make sure you go. Thank you very much. Just thought I'd just remind you of something. But when you think about it, we do talk about, like, when we're angry, we grit our teeth, you know, or we say, you know, let me chew on that for a while. We do talk about our teeth an awful lot, don't we? We grin and bear it a lot. You know, we do stuff like that. We also, if we think there's something we want to do, we might say something like, I could really sink my teeth into that. Look how many times we talk about our teeth in our when we're describing our thoughts about something. Let me chew on that. Let me sink my teeth. Or I don't think I could sink my teeth into that. So when we're doing that, and we're doing things that go against the grain of who we are, we do end up grinding our teeth. So that first affirmation right there, the affirmation, I relax my mind in the stories it contains. When you say that to yourself, you say, I relax my mind in the stories, you'll notice your face, your jaw starts to relax. That there really is a mind-body connection. That there really is mind, body, and spirit at work here. And it's not a punishment. The trying time is not a punishment. It's an opportunity to shake loose some old belief you have that's actually causing you discomfort. And it's the next thing for you to learn. And that's why it's coming up in your life. And that everything is really trying to support you in you receiving all of your good. But it's the stories that we carry inside of us about what is life, what is death, why is it that that person has something and I don't have it, is there enough good to go around, do I even think I am worthy of receiving all the good, do I think it's possible? I know Cindy Brinkhoff gave a talk on peace one time and she said, number one, do you think peace is possible? Do you think world peace is possible? And I think the underlying thought a lot of times is, how could that happen? How could we make that happen? And so right away our humanness goes on work of, how can we make it happen? And that isn't how it works. We're learning that more and more, that isn't how it works. And when we don't get that and see that and apply that, then we have discomfort. And we have it until we change something. We completely reverse our thoughts on it. The other thing I liked about divine science was that it says spirit and science live side by side. They're not separate things. You should be able to test this with your life. Everything we're talking about in this little blue book, which is like really about the only thing they've got going on. They've got a couple other things. But, I mean, that's really all you need. It's really all you need. It's really interesting. But, you know, it's got a lot of Bible quotes in it. But remember, they're looking at the Bible quotes metaphysically. They're looking at it as nobody was really sowing seeds, you know, just like we're not really talking about getting dental hygiene stuff going down next week. We're talking more about what are we chewing on, what thoughts are we chewing on, what feelings are we chewing on, what beliefs are we chewing on, because that's what we're having a little bit of a trying time right now. So we look at the trying time and we use it to try out these things we say we believe. So we no longer go to work on it, unless it's cleaning your house. I'm pretty sure nobody's going to show up, but they might. But it could be that cleaning your house was a reflection of you not really caring for yourself, and so cleaning your house really represents you creating a space for yourself. Because when we're depressed, what do? We don't clean our house. No. Even animals, when they're depressed, they don't even clean themselves. And neither do human beings. We're smart enough to know that if we walk up to a dog and it's growling real low, they're probably not happy. But if they're baring their teeth, we do not go near the dog, right? So even the dog shows us that we're about to get bit and warns us. So it's been so interesting when I look at my life, all the times when I thought it was really a trying time, a really terrible time, that it actually was just a time to let go of something, let go of thoughts, to relax and believe that somehow this is all going to unfold perfectly and trust in that. And that if I try to make something happen, it's actually going to get in the way of it. That's been just so wonderful, because every time I do that, I don't have to have high blood pressure anymore because I'm clenching my jaws and my neck's not out of order. I can just say, I don't know what this is, but boy, I'm going to totally trust you. And this trying time is the perfect time, the perfect opportunity to try this out, to see if this is true. One of the things I love about our group is that we've been trying it together sometimes. We've been saying things back at the focal point. We don't know where we should go next, but we have a feeling we're supposed to go someplace, but we're not going to do anything about it. It's going to come to us. And they did, and they came to us. And now we're here. And then there was a trying time where it looked like even the building wasn't going to be here. And then that changed. And then it looked as if we were going to have somebody else buy it, and we didn't know if they would let us stay or not. And so we started thinking, well, where else could we go? But then we said, let's just let this thing unfold. And a lot of people wanted to do something about it. They wanted to get the lawyers involved. They wanted to get the aldermen involved. They wanted to get injunctions. And I said, I have no part of that. No part of it. I'm not doing it. So now what has happened, and I talked about this last week, but I know a lot of you weren't here, is that a friend of mine came in, went to the backyard concert, came the next day to the service for the very first time, heard these two people performing the message, met all of you. Well, not all of you, because you weren't all here. But next time you will. And decided to buy the church. Which makes me say, why did I meet that person 14 years ago? So we don't understand what's growing underground. We have no clue of what's growing underground. But he was so moved by the people and the service and the building and said, this is important stuff. This needs to continue on. So because we can all say, let's just let it unfold, we're going to be fine, it's about the message, it's not about brick and mortar. If we can stay in that space, even though our personality, mine included, at first will go, whoa, that's weird. If we can stay in that space and really trust and apply everything we're talking about, which is basically saying if we can stay at peace in any situation. This is so amazing. Anyway, if we can stay at peace in any situation, then Spirit can do its work. The reason I think this is amazing, Deborah just walked in, but last night I was trying to start up a new email marketing because my Vistaprint thing crashed. And so I was going through all these names of people that I hadn't seen in a long time. Linda, you were there. Rich was there. You know, Patty was there. You know, just all these people were coming up. And then I walk in today and they're there. You know, Anna, I start with Anna Allen. There's my A's. Okay. And it was just like, it just, again, it's life teaching you the principles. It's saying you focused your attention on this and look who showed up now. Janet's back. Janet, I was typing all these in. Just that little bit of attention, a little bit of energy going on to something. And it's like you start to understand you're not having a conversation or thoughts with yourself. You're having it with everyone everywhere. That it's called universal consciousness. Dennis, I probably deleted you because you weren't even in my mind anymore. You can be at it. But it's just But it's like, who are some of the people who haven't been here for a little bit? And then they show up. But if we understood that that's how powerful this is, if we don't throw a story in front of it, if we can just say, here's what I would love to see happen, not attached to exactly how, when, or where it happens. So if we are attached to it, it has to be here, that's not going to do it. We have to be so spirit-like. We have to be so in our own true nature, because that's what we are actually a match for. That's what's fluid. That's what's everywhere present. That's what doesn't even work in the concept of time. We call it time, but it's always there everywhere. Omnipresent is what divine science would call it. All-knowing. It's always there. It's not like we have to go seek it. We just have to relax into it. And every trying time that we have, whatever you're going through right now, whatever that is, the first step is to relax your mind about what you think it's about and imagine there's something much greater going on. That's it. Last week I talked about enlightenment. One of the quotes was about creating a space, a vacant space for enlightenment. You don't struggle and try to become enlightened. You relax and say, I give you an opening within my mind so I can see this. I'm open. Well, rigid thinking and beliefs is not being open. So Warren sends me an email saying, I get that. I'm just having a hard time creating that. A little opening. That is true. But the way we open it is to relax our mind about the story that's right there, about the situation that's right in front of you, and try, use this time to try everything we've read about, talked about, and said we believed in. And that is number one, to trust. Trust that something wants our good. Something that is good, it wants to express through us and is just asking us to get out of the way of it. Just to relax. And say, and imagine it saying, I've got this. I've got you. You don't have to do this. All you need to say is, how do you want to feel at the end of this? I'm going to follow that because that's where the energy is at. That's why empty affirmations don't work. So if I am saying something that sounds so beautiful, but I don't feel it, it doesn't matter. What do you want to feel? Well, I would love to feel relief. I would love to be on the other side of this. I would love to feel peace. I would love to feel joy. That's all I need to know. Got it. People say, I want to be in a relationship with that person. And then they go after that person. I've had people do that to me. It gets very scary. And all of the giving that they gave was really about strings being attached to an outcome with a particular person. So it's never supposed to be defined and outlined in that way. Outlining is great if you'd like to give a talk. Okay? But do not outline your life. Spirit doesn't work off of your outline. It works off of you connecting with your true nature. Then you don't have to worry about learning the spiritual principles and laws and stuff. And you'll know if you're in alignment because you will be at peace. No matter what's going on, no matter what they just said about you, no matter what it looks like, you'll say, I don't know what this is about, but I'm going to remove from myself any beliefs that might be standing in the way of my good, and I'm going to completely trust. I'm going to use this time to try out you, God. I'm going to use this time to connect. I'm going to use this time to see if we really have a relationship. I'm going to use this time right now to relax into God. Thank you very much.